September of 2007 as a student. I was broken, beat up. I was in a rough place, being addicted to drugs and gambling. I successfully completed the program in October of 2008. I stayed on to do a leader in training program for another 6 months, and then beyond that, another 6 months as an intern. I have continued working at Teen Challenge ever since. Throughout the years, I've had tremendous privilege in my life. I've been able to go on 3 different missions trips. I've been able to travel the world, speak in a lot of different countries, share at a lot of different Teen Challenge centers. In September of 2012, I was able to marry my best friend. Her name is Sarah. Together we have a little baby boy. His name is Grayson. He was born to us on Christmas Day of 2014. He's just an amazing little guy. He's such a bundle of joy. Whenever I leave and go to work, I come home and he just gets so excited. He waves his arms and kicks his legs. It's such an amazing thing to be a father, to be a parent. I couldn't ask for more blessing in my life than to have the wife that I have, the son that I do. The vision I have for Teen Challenge could best be described in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. In there, Jesus is talking, and he's talking to his disciples, and he says to them, "If you are truly my disciples, then you will follow my teachings. And if you follow my teachings, you truth, and in the truth you will find freedom." And our students come to us looking for freedom. They have all sorts of different bondage that is unique to them, but we have the one answer that resounds. That answer is Jesus Christ. We do everything we can to provide an environment for our students where they can meet the one true living God, where they can meet him on a daily basis. And as they begin to develop that relationship with him is when their bondage and their addiction begins to fall away. If I was to ask you a question right now, do you know someone in addiction? Chances are everyone in this room would put their hand up. The World Health Organization estimates that there are 300 million addicts worldwide struggling with any type of addiction. Teen Challenge is here to bring hope. Here to bring an answer and a solution to the problem. If you know someone who's struggling in addiction, please give us a call. Please visit our website and enroll or apply to Teen Challenge. Get more information. Talk to one of our staff members or outreach workers who are here today. We want to help with this problem. We've seen so many success stories and had so many positive outcomes to people that were hopeless, to people that were lost in addiction. We know that through Jesus Christ, freedom can be found.
Hello. Check, hello, awesome. Well, thanks for having us. It's a pleasure to come and join you guys in fellowship and just sharing, you know, stories from our guys here at Teen Challenge. And, you know, it's really a privilege and an honor to come fellowship with different churches Sunday mornings. We do this every Sunday with our students, and it's a great opportunity for them to keep the momentum of change moving forward, to share testimony about how God's been moving and operating in their lives. And it's encouraging. It's encouraging to hear how God's operating in other people's lives. And, you know, what a praise report, you know, in small groups. Small groups are so important in churches to, you know, to really lay that groundwork to connect. You know, that's all we all really want, to connect with each other. We all want to be loved. And as your pastor Dave was sharing about what's going on around the world, and you know, the terrorism, you know, essentially wants to incite fear in us. And you know, I just can't help but think about the analogies of how Satan wants to incite fear in us. He wants to keep us bound and trapped in our sin, in our iniquities. He doesn't want us to reach out and connect. He wants us to be singled out and isolated and die in our hopelessness, right? God wants to give us hope. Jesus wants to give us hope today, and we have to boldly proclaim that hope. Perfect love casts out all fear. So we're here today to hopefully give you all hope that God is still moving, and he's good. He's an awesome God. I just wanted to preface the guys that I'll be sharing today. Nick and Riley are facilitating. They're recent graduates of the program, and I'm really proud of both of them. And I just wanted to get up and say that publicly, and I'm proud of you guys. Nick's going to be going to Summit Pacific Bible College in January, and he's pretty stoked. Yeah. And Riley, I've been hounding him and saying he's got a pastor's heart. He loves to read. How far are you in writing your own book right now? Couple chapters. Anyways, he wants to write. He's got a great gift to talk. He's got a great mind and a pastor's heart. And so they'll be facilitating the next 25 minutes or so. So Nick, do you want to come up and get us started? Awesome.
Well, thanks for the intro, Jason. There's not much more to say after that. My name is Nick, one of the staff here. So before we get up to some student testimonies, part of this program is I'm going to talk about the history of Teen Challenge a little bit. The nice thing about this, everything I'm reciting is from the book, The Cross and the Switchblade. So if you happen to get a chance to get a hold of it, I would recommend it. It's a really, really good read and really insightful on the history of Teen Challenge. So back in 1958, Pastor David Wilkerson from Pennsylvania, I believe, decided to sell his TV, and the time he spent watching TV, he wanted to spend in prayer, so that amounted to an extra 2 hours a day in prayer. In that time, he was praying, and he came across a Time magazine article, and on the front page was these seven young boys in New York that were on trial for murder, and God put it on his heart to go help these boys. So, by faith, David Wilkerson went and he drove to New York, collected the offering, and he actually had no success getting a hold of these boys. The courts actually rejected him, and then he got publicly humiliated on the newspaper for trying to help these seven boys out. So when he came back, that being presented on the newspaper actually gave him an in with the street gangs in New York, and he started ministering to all these kids who were homeless, drug addicts, gang members, and he started realizing that the solution to all these kids' problems was lack of relationship, and the answer to that was a relationship with Jesus Christ. So he started ministering to these kids and introducing them to Jesus, but the one problem was there was no follow-up program. So what he did was, by faith again, opened up the first Teen Challenge Center in Brooklyn, New York. And from there, it's gone global. We have over 1,000 centers in 100 countries. Great. And then what Teen Challenge is, it's a year long. It's for people in Canada, it's for men and women. In the States, they have other youth programs. But it's for anyone who struggles with any sort of life-controlling addiction. Doesn't even need to be drugs and alcohol, just anything where you have that hole in your life. So it's year-long, it's more discipleship than it is like rehab. We don't even call ourselves a rehab, it's pretty much like a year-long Bible boot camp. It's really intense, trust me. So yeah, and then at the end of this program, once you complete the 12-month minimum, they can tack on time, I know this. And so they can tack on time to your program, or you graduate in the 12-month time. After your 12 months, you have the option of going back into society, or you can integrate into the leader and training program, which I'm doing till January, same as Riley. You're still kind of a student. It's kind of like a phase three of the program, where you're integrating back out, but you still live under accountability and some structure, but you have a little bit more freedom. So that's my book report of The Cross and the Switchblade in 5 minutes or less. I'm going to call up Neil, and he's going to share about what God's been doing in his life. I'm just going to pray for Neil. Father, I thank you for Neil and the work you've begun in his life. I just pray that you speak through him today and that he's able to boldly testify unto your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, church. Sorry, this is actually more awkward than I expected. Obviously, by my shoes, I am a little bit of an absent-minded professor. I was full focused on speaking today that I forgot to get out of my comfortable shoes and get into my dress shoes. And that's part of my life story that leads into. I grew up always knowing I was a little bit different than everyone else. I had excellent math skills, excellent book skills, but I had hard times relating to anyone. I really had to struggle showing emotion, feeling empathy for others, to actually expressing myself properly. And so I survived high school and college just because of my determination and my extreme academic level. That's all I really cared about when I was growing up. So I lasted college, and then I rededicated my life at college thanks to a Pentecostal youth pastor in Kamloops. And then I went 4 years to Bible school. But I always knew, even then, I may have been a Christian, a part of the body of Christ, but I saw myself as a foot or a appendix. I never felt myself useful. I was always different than everyone else. I'd be the one in the dining hall with my headphones on, listening to music and reading 100 books a year, which was a surprise to a lot of my fellow students even back then. So I graduated, but I still had some heartfelt problems, not really loving myself for who I am. And I didn't believe that God loved me either. I couldn't trust him, and I've learned not to trust other people in my life. So I did the lone wolf Christianity by myself for the next 15 years. I found that alcohol was a very easy way to numb myself and to allow myself to socially interact with people. I could choose my loose my tongue when I'm at the bar. I could also, but when I was outside, it gave me an excuse to isolate and not want to deal with people the next day. I found a job that I didn't have to think, that I could just do by rote and by repetition, which helps with my personality. It helped a lot. So I did that for 14 years. By the end of it, though, I was depressed. I felt, I knew that God had given me much, and I'd used nothing of it. So I was starting to want to kill myself and just found no worth in life anymore. And the alcohol, I was starting to get tired of fighting the alcohol. So I tried to commit suicide right on Good Friday of this year. But I had friends, I didn't realize how much the body of Christ actually appreciated me and how much God loves me. Because of a guy from Uganda phoned the Edmonton police. I put it on Facebook, and a guy from Uganda phoned the Edmonton police. And a guy that I hadn't met for 15 years at Bible school, he phoned the town where I was going to go to, and because I was going to jump off a cliff, and he phoned the police, so there was a police car waiting for me where I was going to jump. And so I know that God demonstrated that I am still loved by him, that I am his child, and he wants, there's still plans for me to prosper and to have a future and that I didn't know about. So I came to the Teen Challenge, 6 months of boot camp, essentially, because for 6 months you're just on property most of the time. You have a lot of extra classroom work. It's almost like a monastery. You don't meet any girls, so you have times of silence. You have structured dorms. You get up 5:30 in the morning, and you go to bed at 9:30, and you get the discipline if you don't follow the rules. But it was perfect for me. I needed some structure back in my life. And through the time at Teen Challenge, it's given me a strength and confidence to know that I'm loved. And it also gave me a way to actually discover why I was unique. I found out for the doctors that I have been diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome. And that explains my lack of interaction and my high level of knowledge, but my low level of social interaction. And so I would not have ever wanted to talk to a doctor or find that diagnosis without going to Teen Challenge. And they've given me the support to find second phase, to do a little more personal studies. So the program director is working with me to find ways to cope with it in a Christian manner and how to be a light in the darkness, show God's strength through my weakness, because I am still a child of God, I am still loved by him, and I can trust others because I can trust God.
So like Neil said, this program is pretty strict. You're scheduled 7 days a week, pretty much morning to night. If we have about a 30-page rule book about that thick with all full of rules that the students are expected to know and follow. Very structured, even down to our dress code, shaving. It's November, hence the mustache. Yeah, that's not a normal thing here. But yeah, so one of the, a big part of recovery is relapse. And relapse isn't necessarily relapse on drugs and alcohol. There's certain patterns that we can fall back into, and we're constantly correcting ourselves and working on it. So if we do have a graduate, someone does graduate the program and they find themselves in that relapse cycle, we do have a refresher program where students can, or graduates can come back for a 3 to 6 month period. They're offered the chance to stay on a staff again, but it's just a chance to kind of get them back on their feet. It seems like it would be one of the hardest things to do, and it would be extremely brave to come back, but I'm gonna welcome up Phil. He's one of our refreshers right now, and he's gonna share a little bit about what God's been doing. Lord, I just want to pray for Phil right now, that you give him the strength to speak boldly and proclaim your name and what you've been doing in his life, in Jesus' name.
Hi, guys. Yeah, he's right. It was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. The hardest thing I had to do before that was come to Teen Challenge in the first place and give up everything. Giving up all my coping mechanisms, smoking and smoking weed and coke and booze and all that kind of stuff, and coming in and surrendering it all, and then the hardest thing is actually coming back and humbling yourself afterwards. When I graduated the program, just a little history, I graduated the program in 2008 and did well. My goal was to submit myself fully to God and live, live for Him. And He totally blessed me. It was the best investment of my life. When I graduated, I married the mother of my child, and she actually had adopted her cousin's two kids as well. So I had an instant family of three kids and a wife. And within a year from then, I had a couple cars, our own house, and it was great for probably about 4 years or so, four years. And it says in the Bible, it says that Jesus is the vine and we're the branches. And if we don't remain in Him, we can't produce any fruit. And that's sort of what ended up happening was when I did good things, I felt loved by God, I felt good. And when I did bad things, I felt, my worth had decreased somehow. And that's not the way God works. He loves us no matter what, and I just read this the other day. That's not how He works. It's more actually, He looks at our heart and the direction our heart is going. And if we're looking to follow after God, and that's the way our heart is. That's the direction that our heart's taking. He loves that, and that's what makes Him happy. Is if we fall, that's okay, because He knows that we're trying to follow Him, and. But I didn't see it that way. I saw I screwed up. And, I whether it was purity with my eyes and watching stuff that I shouldn't have been watching online, or whether it was blowing up at the kids or whatever the case may have been, I didn't touch drugs and alcohol for about seven and a half years afterwards. But I was slipping up in other ways that maybe weren't so noticeable, those secret sins, I guess. But after about 4 or 5 years, I stopped doing my devotions. Life had gotten busy, and that verse came true, where it says you don't produce any fruit. And I was just working off my actions, and I saw my actions getting more and more. I was more focused on the outside and not so much the inside, my heart. And so I started going to the gym more often, it just ended up. I ended up getting in more fights with my wife, and pretty soon there was hurt and offense there where I couldn't even. I didn't even want to make our marriage work, and there we went. I ended up We went to Mexico with the money that, you know, I saved from not doing drugs and alcohol anymore. You know, we were able to take vacations, and it was, you know, great fun. We were having a lot of fun, but I could already tell that my mind was starting to slip. I was starting to see things a little bit differently. You know, I and drugs were starting to have, I was starting to fight off drugs and alcohol logically. Like, oh, that wouldn't be a good idea, because then you'd start smoking again, and you know how hard it is to quit smoking, because the smoking was the real hard one for me. And I realized this, no longer was I taking these thoughts captive and bringing them under the authority of Christ. I was now, it wouldn't be a good idea because this might happen and then your kids would know and da-da-da. And it would basically, I knew I was in a dangerous place, and I actually ended up bringing my Bible along with me to Mexico. And I was like, I really got to start reading it again, because I hadn't read it really, like I hadn't done devotions in probably a couple years. And we went out there, got in a big fight with my wife, and there was a big party on the beach for New Year's, and I decided to go down there and see what was going on. And I ended up drinking, and actually it was the whole nine yards. Ended up meeting a guy and smoking a bit of weed with him, did a bit of coke with him, and kept it a secret from my wife. My wife knew that I had drank, but I didn't tell her about the weed or the coke, and then I slipped back into that lifestyle once I got back. And cigarettes, of course, you know, that night as well, and after. And I thought, what happens in Mexico stays in Mexico, but it didn't. You know, the cigarettes came back, and then I hid it from my wife for probably about a month and a half, and it was all good fun. It was like I was back in high school again, but I didn't realize how much I was hurting her. And then it got to the point where, even with pornography and stuff like that, you know, those are those little compromises that you don't realize. You don't realize that those small foxes spoil the vine, and I ended up cheating on my wife about a month before I came into the program. And at that point, I lost everything. I was just like, "That's it, my life's over." And I just began to drink and drink and drink, and I just did coke to help me drink more to forget. I was smoking just copious amounts of weed, and just to try and not think about it. And my wife, thankfully, she ended up signing me up for the program, and you know, she's an angel. She basically, it was her that got me back into the program, and when I came back in, I was never as close to suicide as I had ever been. But God showed me through people at Teen Challenge and through my wife, He showed me that, you know, His love is there and His mercies are never ending. And, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, our mistakes that we make in life, He's still there, and He's willing to help us through each of those things. And so although it was the hardest thing that I've ever done, it was also the best decision I ever made was to come back. And He's been showing me, like I said, He's been showing me that He loves me and showing me that I have a hope and a purpose. And the great thing is He's been showing me how to walk in step with His Spirit, which is something I wasn't doing before. It was, you know, if I try hard enough, I can do it. And that's the way it was with my whole life. And eventually, you know, I would fall on my face because I just couldn't quit drugs and alcohol without them. And that's why I went the first time. But slowly I forgot those things. And I wanted to leave you with a verse. The first one was sort of the thing that I should have remembered in the first place. And this was, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. And that's sort of the law of the flesh, you know, like where we do it on our own. And then in verse 16 of Galatians 5, it says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. The two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses." And that was something that I wasn't really following, But when you ask the Holy Spirit to direct your life and you can hear God's voice and you follow in step with the Spirit, you realize that he's given us the same power that Christ had to perform miracles. You know, it wasn't that Christ was God. That wasn't the reason he was able to perform those miracles. It was because the Holy Spirit was on him in power, and he was performing those miracles through the Holy Spirit. And that same Holy Spirit's in us. And so it gives us the ability to live free of drugs, free of alcohol, and that's when we can, exemplify those fruits of the Spirit, like love, joy, peace, patience. That's the only way we can do it. We can't do it in our own flesh. It has to be through God's Spirit. So I just, that's what I'm learning here at Teen Challenge now. So.
Hello, everyone. I've already been introduced, but my name is Riley, and I am going to have a panel up here pretty soon, in just a minute, so I can actually call up the four guys who are going to be on the panel to come up right now, and you can line up your chairs. And I just want to quickly say a few things you can do to support Teen Challenge. Obviously, the first thing is financial. We have firewood for sale. Those of you who still heat your house with firewood, or if you have bonfires or anything, up in Winfield, we have our wood program, and I believe it's $140 a cord. Also, we have a vehicle donation program. So if you have a vehicle on your hands that you just happen to not need anymore, we will gladly take that off your hands. It's a great deal, I know. If it's not running anymore, we can still get scrap for that, and we appreciate that. If it is running, all the better. You know, we've got some mechanics, and we fix it up and sell them. Also, we're doing a center now, and you can come talk to me, Nick, or Jason, any of us, about sponsoring a center and how you can partner with us financially. Also, prayer is huge. Like, it's not I can't give money, so I'm going to pray. Like, no, we would ask everyone to pray no matter what. I know for me, getting out of my addiction, getting into Teen Challenge was because of people praying for me. Like, that's what did the trick, you know. And also Wednesday mornings at 9 o'clock, we have a open chapel. Everyone's welcome, you know, come. We have a speaker from around the Okanagan come and share. And we sing some worship songs, and yeah, that's how you can support us. So, I haven't thought about what we're going to do with microphones. That's okay, improvise. Okay. Oh, I never was a tech guy. Neil, sing the Jeopardy music. Actually, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I'm gonna stand down here. Let's start off. Neil, if you just wanna, Neil, if you could just tell us your name and where you're from, how long you've been in the program, that'd be awesome.
I'm Neil Steinwand. I'm from Enderby, BC, via Grand Prairie, Alberta for the last 15 years, and I'm now just past my six-month mark in my program.
I'm Jordan, and I'm from Edmonton, Alberta.
My name is Zach. I'm from Cold Lake, Alberta, and I've been here just over 2 months.
My name is Phil Van Zanten, and I've been here just over 3 months, and I'm from Chilliwack, BC.
Jordan, how long have you been here for? Thank you, Jordan. All right, Phil, what is your biggest challenge being in Teen Challenge?
That would probably be being away from my wife and kids and then watching, because I get to see them. There's visiting days on Saturdays, on the first Saturday of every month. So when it's a situation like that, just seeing my family and sort of seeing what they're going through without me there, and seeing the loss that sort of, you know, the sadness when they have to say goodbye.
Same question.
It would have to be like the separation from my family and people that love me. I mean, we only get one phone call a week in the first 6 months, one 15-minute phone call. So it's enough to touch base and let them know that you're okay, but it's really hard to have no contact outside of that.
Now, Jordan's probably going to say that his biggest challenge was cooking in the kitchen with me for a month, but he's not allowed to use that answer, so I hope you weren't planning that.
I was about to use that, but That's good. I'd say the biggest challenge is just living in community with 20 other guys. It's easy to get each other's throats when you're constantly with them every single day, but, yeah.
Your biggest challenge, Neil?
For me, I used the alcohol for 15 years to cope with life and ignore my symptoms of Asperger's. And now that I don't have that, the brain cells wired that way, they're coming back to the old ways. And so I'm having problems in community, reading people with body language, all the communicative and social skills that everyone else has, I have struggles with that. So living with 20 guys and not in my own room, and having about an hour or two a day to myself is the hardest part.
Very good. Okay, and Neil, what is your vision for after the program, for your life?
After the program, I already have a dream to go back to seminary and get my master's degree so I can become a Bible school teacher in a small little Bible school setting like PRBI, Peace River Bible Institute, which is about 100 student level. I think I could work well one-on-one and in small groups, encouraging people to use their unique gifts and abilities to glorify God.
Cool, Jordan. Before Neil came into the program, I thought I was like the most academic, booky, smart person. I was really proud, but then he came along, so I kind of hold that against him still. Just so you know. Jordan, what's your vision?
My vision for after the program is just to pursue God, see what he has in store for me, really. I'm not in second phase yet, which is the last 6 months of the program where you really plan on what you're going to do after, but yeah, just pursue God is my only hope and dream right now.
I think it's really early for me as well. I've spent a lot of time in and out of addiction and in sobriety, trying to stack everything up and take control of my life, and I had this list of all the stuff I needed to do to be happy and to be successful. And so for the first time here, I'm just letting all that go, and I'm just going to see what God has for me, and be patient.
Cool. Phil, your vision?
Do an LIT at the Chilliwack Men's Center, and then possibly after that, maybe having some sort of ministry with violent offenders and sexual offenders, just people that are really, I feel, actually really, really struggle with God's love and acceptance. So, yeah.
Awesome. Phil, I'm just going to ask you, what has been your biggest God moment so far this program?
There's been several. I'd have to say with just trusting God while I'm here, not having, obviously, like I said, I have a mortgage, and so my wife's been paying all the bills and taking care of the family. I've been on EI, but my EI ran out the first week of November, and so I was really struggling with that. About around October, mid-October, I was like, okay. You know, I saw my family, and I heard that my daughter had been crying an hour a day, you know, to, you know, missing her dad and you know, just dealing with that whole family scenario, knowing that I could get back and help them out right away and be there, but knowing that probably, you know, would end up, you know, I'd end up back doing the things I was doing.
And knowing that I could get back to work and start paying the bills again, you know, helping pay the bills so that my wife doesn't lose the house, but I knew that God wanted me at Teen Challenge. And so just trusting that, you know, that was what he wanted. Then my wife, her dad, who she doesn't really talk to at all, who doesn't go to church, he ended up telling her, you know, hey, talk to your grandma and get $3,000 or $4,000 from her for from my inheritance money. You don't have to pay it back. And so it was just like, you know, trusting that God would take care of us, and he did. I just left it in God's hands instead of stressing on it, and he did. So that's probably my biggest God moment.
Awesome. Same question, Zach.
Yeah.
That's tough to follow. For me, I think I've in and out of sobriety in the last 11 years. I've just, even when my life, I thought my life was in a good place, I just always had doubt. I was unsure of my direction and just never really knew if I was doing the right thing or if I was with the right people or doing the right job or following the right direction. And since I've been in Teen Challenge these last 2 months, I just have this this deep peace and this knowledge that I'm in the right place. And for me, that's just been so comforting to know that even though it's not easy, I have no doubt about where I should be right now, and that's just been really, really great.
Your biggest God moment. This can involve the kitchen if you want.
My biggest God moment is probably just the fact that I'm at Teen Challenge, and over the past, I'd say, month or two, realizing the power of prayer from my family, from my father and my brother. That'd be the biggest.
Neil, God moment.
Just, I struggled with anxiety as well as with my Asperger's. And just at one point in time, I just called out to God, I can't voice what I need to pray about and how to pray for it. And and the Lord released my tongue, and I really felt the Holy Spirit come down and said, don't worry about it. I can just pray, and I will help you in that moment. And that's for me, with a logical, intellectual mind, actually asking God to do it that I can't do it is such a hard issue. And that gift that he gave me is the only reason I can speak up here today and have the confidence to actually talk to other people.
So good. So good. Okay, so Neil, what has been like the biggest benefit in your life coming to Teen Challenge? Like, what do you see yourself walking away from the program with? You know,
being willing to accept my disability or my disorder as a gift from God, that His strength is found in my weakness. I can't survive life without the power of God in my life, but He wants to use it to minister to others with mental disorders, showing that there is a place for them in the Christian circle and that they are wanted and loved by God.
Same question, Jordan.
Can you repeat that question?
the biggest benefit of coming to Teen Challenge.
My biggest benefit, I'd have to say, is just my relationship with Jesus Christ. Before coming here, I was the farthest thing from a Christian, and without Teen Challenge, just going to maybe another treatment center that was a secular program, I would have never walked in the same path I'm walking right now, and that's the biggest thing.
Zach?
There's probably two parts for the biggest benefit. I would say the first thing is my family and the people that love me. It gives them peace to know that I'm somewhere safe and I'm not out in trouble. And so I'm so grateful for that, because I know they can rest and they can know that I'm doing the right thing. And then for myself, just realizing that my identity isn't tied to a list of things or accomplishments or skills, thinking that I needed these things in order to be who I am. And now I'm finding that I get to take this time to find myself in God and not in the world. So that's been really great.
A benefit, Phil?
Learning that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, despite how cliche that sounds, you know, it's pretty easy to get caught up in that. And then also, like I said, living by the Spirit, just being able to, you know, walk in the Holy Spirit's power.
All right. So just one more question. You guys will really have to use your imagination on this one. I know you guys love the rules. Like, everyone loves every single rule. So, but just for fun, pretend that there was a rule that you wanted to change. What would it be, and what would you change it to? Phil?
Optional ties. Optional.
For me, we can have one cup of coffee in the morning, and I know it kind of sounds silly, but I would like to be able to have more than one cup of coffee in the morning.
Phil, you took the words right out of my mouth. But if I could have something else, it would be more phone calls, I'd probably say. Be able to keep connected with your support network.
Mine would be to have my own roommate. I'd love to. Or if I had to have a roommate, it would be a cat or a dog.
I'm with you there. Yes. Awesome, but again, these guys, they love the rules the way they are. Okay, yeah, that's all. Thanks for listening to us share.